What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Route Runners podcast. I'm your host, Jared.
I'm Jason.
I'm Shrieker.
And we are back for the first time since the Super Bowl, I think. It's been a while. We all had a lot of exams before spring break, and we've just all been pretty busy. There was a Thon weekend here, Stay Paddy's Day weekend here, then spring break. So we just had a lot going on. And there's a lot to talk about for football, but we're going to save a lot of that for next week. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL and the free agency, but we wanted to mainly highlight March Madness today. In my opinion, the best playoffs in all of sports. I don't even think it's close. I love March Madness. We did this last year. I think we did a show right before the tournament started, and then we did one for the next rounds. I don't know if we did. Yeah, we did. I think we like updated like whatever we were thinking at the time or something. Yeah. But yeah. So hopefully, in my opinion, I hope that this tournament is better than the last two. I didn't enjoy the last two tournaments as much as I usually do. Not because of like teams that were in or anything. I just feel like there were too many upsets,
and which makes it better.
Yeah, it's an interesting take.
Ruins your bracket. That's it.
I don't even care about that because I've only won it one time in like 7-8 years of following this. So like, it's not that I really care about it. It's just that like, realistically, the teams that are higher are better teams. So I'd rather not always see them lose, and I'd rather see some of them.
Well, that's a skill issue.
I'd rather see some of them end up playing each other.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Like Kentucky lost last year to St. Peter's, and as great as that St. Peter's run was, like I would have loved to see that UNC team as an 8 seed go all the way to the Elite Eight to play that Kentucky team. Like that would have been a lot more fun to watch because I mean what ended up happening is that UNC blasted St. Peter's.
No. The other teams couldn't, like Purdue, who was a 3 seed, so it's like,
yeah, no,
it's still tough.
Yeah, I mean, again, I like seeing upsets, but then when there's that, and then combined with the fact that we saw Iowa State versus Miami also in the Sweet 16, when that was like so random, I don't know. The last year was better than the year before because the year before, like literally, like you want, I don't know. In my opinion, you want games to look forward to after the first weekend, and when there's that many upsets, I can't do that as much. That's just in my opinion. Right. I know that that's definitely a hot take, and not a lot of people agree with that, but that's just what I think. But how we or I guess before we get into that, we'll start about what our teams have kind of been doing in the NFL free agency. It's been a very started on what, Monday?
Yeah.
It's Wednesday now. It's been a pretty hectic 3 days, to say the least. It's been a lot of big moves. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to the Jets. Derek Carr signed with the Saints. And, again, we'll go a lot more in-depth about some of these next week. I guess all of our teams have kind of made one or two big splashes. I guess, Shrieker, you can go first because your team probably has made the biggest one.
Yeah, so I think to start it off, I think the biggest splash was our defense coordinator hire because without him, I don't think a good amount of these players would want to come. Even if they came, they wouldn't have as big of a presence as they are now. We got the co-defensive coordinator from the Saints last year, Ryan Nielsen. He's now our defensive coordinator. And we were able to sign David Onyemata. I think he had a pretty solid presence on the D-line for the Saints. But I think just we have no D-line presence at all, so anything helps there on that front. But a big splash was Jesse Bates. We definitely needed some help in the secondary, and having a guy who's easily top 10 in that position come and help us. Now he's the fourth highest paid safety in the league. I mean, I'll definitely take it. We still have a good amount of cap. I like what we did at the quarterback position because now you can say like, okay, we're going to give you the keys, potentially Desmond Ridder. And if it doesn't work out, right behind you is Taylor Heinicke. He'll finish out the season. He'll still be able to get a win here and there. And next year we can go into either trading for a quarterback or we'll draft a quarterback if we don't get enough wins. And so I definitely think that pushing some pressure behind Ridder is good. I don't know if Because the thing with Lamar is if we had gotten traded for Lamar, that would have been probably like 60 to 70% of the cap space. And we wouldn't still have been able to fix that defense at the end of the day. We still wouldn't be able to fix that D-line. So, yeah. But then there is that also the question, because I feel like free agents like to look at the QB position too. Like the Browns. If you see what the Browns have done, a lot of people have been going to the Browns because of Deshaun Watson. So there's it's a 50-50 thing.
Yeah, I like the Heineke move. I think that, like, I hated him.
I don't think he's a certified starter, but I think he's there. If your starting quarterback's not good enough, he's good to finish out the season.
Do you think he's going to start the year?
Who?
Heineke?
No. I think with how last season started, I think Ritter will probably get the reins. If everything starts going downhill fast, though, I think because there is a little pressure behind Arthur Smith, at least, to like get more wins and see more success. So I think
it has been kind of stagnant for the first 2 years of his coaching. It's not his fault, but I like that move. I think I really didn't like him in 2021. And then last year, I think he proved he's a solid QB. You want to go next or you want me to go?
Yeah. I mean, Chargers are really, there's really like two significant things that have come out from them. First one is Austin Eckler's probably going to be traded, which I mean, isn't a terrible thing because, like, it's really not worth trading running backs unless they're like Derrick Henry or Saquon or CMC, like guys that'll really change the game on their own. And, like, I don't really think Eckler's one of those guys. Like, I love him. He's a really good player, but, like, he's more of just a receiver than a true running back who can, like, run out a game, which is based off this last playoff. That's what we needed. So I'm not too upset with that. I was hoping we could sign someone like Miles Sanders or David Montgomery, but they've already found home. So I don't know. Maybe we'll draft someone in the draft, but
it's a deep class.
Yeah, there are a lot of good running backs. So I mean, I'm guessing we'll take one later on in the draft. We have like the past 3 years. So and then the other thing is we took a linebacker from the Vikings, Michael Kendricks.
Eric
Kendricks, yeah, they're the same person, except one's just a lot better and the other insider traded, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But it's like the perfect signing for us. Like that's the one spot we really needed. Is linebacker for sure, and he can really do it all: cover, defend the run. I think it's perfect signing, and hopefully, a few more low key signings. I don't think we're gonna make any big splashes. We don't really have that much money, but I'm happy with what's gone on so far.
Lucky you. Yeah. Enjoy Eric Kendricks, because if he were to go to any team after the Vikings, I'm happy it's the Chargers, because they're easily in my top five favorite teams in the league. That one hurt. Waking up Monday morning on a couch in Fort Lauderdale to that news was not fun. Yeah, so I don't really know what the Vikings are doing, if I'm being honest. There have been a decent amount of moves so far that I've been very confused about. There's been one that I've really – actually, two that I've really liked. Three that I've, like, been okay with, which sounds better than what I was saying 15 seconds ago. But I hated cutting Eric Kendricks. I think he's been such a mainstay on this defense for so long, and he's done a lot for this team. He wasn't even getting paid that much. I think he was getting paid, like, $9 million. No, did not need to be cut at all. I did not understand cutting Cam Dantzler. He was getting paid like $3 million a year, and he had a very good season last year for when he was playing.
Especially since Patrick Peterson's gone now too.
He's gone, and Patrick Peterson also had a good year. That I'm not really too upset about, because like
Cam Dantzler?
No, the Dantzler one I think sucks. Like, I don't understand that at all. He was good last year. And Peterson was like pretty solid too. And then they just both, or Dantzler was hurt a lot. But,
The Thielen
one I'm happy about. As much as it sucks, because he is the main reason that I've been a Vikings fan probably my whole life. I have his jersey. He's been one of my favorite players forever. He had to go. He was getting paid $16 million a year. And the fact that he was, I think at the time, the third highest paid. Yeah. Third highest paid player on the team. That's a problem, especially when his production last year was pretty much nothing. he's just not nearly as part of the offense anymore, and that's just how it is. So that one I understood. I think that we should trade Dalvin Cook. He's getting paid like the sixth or seventh most on a team, and for a running back that isn't as involved in the offense as he used to be. That just can't happen. Clearly the offense worked when Kevin O'Connell wasn't really running the ball all that much, and if that's the case, I love Dalvin Cook, but he's too expensive at the moment. We did just re-sign Alexander Mattison, which I really liked. I really like that we signed Byron Murphy. I think he's a very solid young cornerback. That's Streaker's guy.
I do think he's really good, so I think he's going to do really well in Minnesota.
Yeah, and he's going to be it's him, Andrew Booth, and maybe a rookie that we draft this year, even though Booth did not play in like one or two games last year. And then I don't understand the Marcus Davenport signing at all. I mean, it could be a thing that they're signing him to potentially they're doing that with the news that Za'Darius Smith wants out, which why he wants out after 1 year, having maybe the best year of his career, I could not tell you. But that kind of just showed me that they're giving up on him very quickly. However, it was also a one-year deal for Davenport, and it was $13 million, which he has not lived up to that amount of money. So that I didn't really understand. We did re-sign Garrett Bradbury. So I guess it hasn't been all bad, but the cutting of Kendricks and the cutting of not cutting Dalvin Cook is worse. So, all right. So I guess we'll go into March Madness now. So last year,
let's do a region and then we'll go into line.
Yeah. So, I wanted to start with this first.
Okay.
So like I said, I think this is going to be a very interesting tournament this year. There's a lot of,
you think so?
Yeah. There's a lot of teams that I don't really trust, especially that are at the top. So, an algorithm is probably a good way to figure out the tournament. So our freshman year when we all met, Shrieker did this, and he won.
I'm going to ride that victory for a very long time because it's all I got.
Our second year last year, he did it, I believe, much more in depth than the first year and was last. Yeah. And now we're back to round three. So explain your thought process behind continuing doing a crazy algorithm like this and maybe what it is.
Yeah, so after Jared Soule said my recent success and defeats in the past 2 years, I wanted to really just start a clean slate, start like with something new. So I did a little experiment, the ACC tournament and the Big Ten tournament. So I put these specific stats up against both tournaments and see how they fared with like, who I predicted would go and like win it all. And so I actually had the final for the Big Ten being Illinois-Purdue. And so, the other one was going to be Miami and NC State, with Miami beating NC State. Obviously both, I think they both lost in the semifinals before the finals. Miami lost to Duke and then NC State lost to Clemson.
Yeah.
Who lost to Virginia?
I went like 11 and like 3 or 4 in the ACC, and then with how bipolar the Big Ten was, I think I finished with 6 and 7. I think, and I took that as pretty good because I went 20 and 27 overall, which is like a 65% win percentage, and so I decided to just run it through like the March Madness tournament as well, and so I've been doing that and going through each region. It is taking way too long. I will say that.
Don't brackets close today, though?
Tomorrow.
It closes when the games start.
Oh.
And so there's three stats I really like to point out. So one of them is points per possession. And that one is just points per game divided by estimated possessions. And then effective field goal percentage. That takes into account field goal percentage and three-point percentage. And I was thinking about putting true shooting percentage too, but the only problem with true shooting is it takes into account free throws. And the problem with that is that's a biased stat in my opinion, because a team that like,
if you're up big, like at the end of the game, you just get a lot of free throws.
That and teams that are like really good with like centers, but like the centers suck at free throws is going to bring their true shooting down versus a team with guards. that are guard heavy because they have good guards, so they'll shoot more like more free throws. So I just kept stuck with the effective field goal percentage. And so I've been writing out this March Madness bracket, but there's one thing I changed right before we recorded this. And so the West region, or the East region actually, was giving me some difficulty because it was giving me way too many upsets in the first round. And I was like, okay, not this many upsets is going to happen in the first round. So then I just looked into like a count, like success per seed to get just to the second round of the tournament. And I was like, okay, let's just reverse this all over like my tournament. And so I stuck the algorithm from the second round onwards. But that first one is kind of like the eye test plus the algorithm, and the eye test kind of switched some of the things up.
By the way, I totally didn't mention this, but like 4 minutes ago, James finished studying, so now he's out doing it.
I still have studying. I was just going to shower. Water.
Okay, so I don't know the regions by name.
Midwest is first, because
that's
the top right.
Yeah, that's the top right.
Top left.
No,
it's top right. South is top left.
Yeah. What do we want to start?
You want to do South?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start on the top. I guess that makes more sense. So Alabama, for some reason, it makes sense, but are the number one overall seed. Definitely not something that I ever would have predicted.
Anthony Miller. Hey, what's his first name?
Brandon Miller.
Anthony Miller's the ex-Bears receiver.
Yeah. He was on the Steelers and jail, probably. I don't know.
He was on jail. He was on the penal league.
So, yeah, Alabama is the one seed. I do not have Alabama coming out of this region.
Oh, I do.
A lot of people probably do. Everyone here probably does.
They're my only one seed to make it to the Final Four.
Okay. What do we think about this region as in general? Like, do we think Alabama has
breaking news? Patriots land James Robinson.
They got Juju too, right?
Yeah, they did get Juju.
You heard about Miles Sanders, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I actually like. Again, we'll talk about this more next. Unless we want to do a huge one now.
No, let's just
kiss. ATL different. Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, go, I like that too. I actually the Panthers are. I don't know.
They're not disgusting.
No, they're not disgusting, but like they have everything but receivers.
But Furman to the Sweet 16.
They're building it out like the Eagles.
They're
getting a pass catching tight end. They have Frank Reich and Deuce Staley, who both are from the Eagles.
That's why I have them coming out as the South Division winners.
I think they're definitely going to –
like in March Madness.
I feel like they could definitely take Anthony Richardson at one.
I fucking hope not.
To be like a Jalen Hurts type player. And they're going to build it around
– As much as, like, I do want to talk about –
Good defense too.
As much as I do want to talk about this, and as much as I like Anthony Richardson, I think that's such a mistake.
Oh, I think so too, but
– At least – and I do like him.
I don't like Stroud at one either.
Compared to Young, no, and absolutely not.
Yeah.
If they traded up to like four or three and did that, then I think that's great.
And they probably could have gotten three and still taken Stroud.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of wasting all that to get one.
Exactly. All right. Anyway, so back to March Madness. So what do we think about this region? We think Bama has an easy road, or because I'll tell you, when I first saw this region, I was like, okay, there's no way that Bama doesn't come out of this region. And then when I was looking into it, the bottom half of the bracket actually looks a lot better than I originally thought. And this is, again, like I said, I don't have Bama coming out, and this is probably the weirdest team that I have in my whole Final Four.
I think of all the one seeds, they have the easiest path to the Elite Eight. But like you're saying, the bottom half of the bracket I think is pretty solid.
I think the one problem is they kind of go through like a couple gauntlets of a – If like whoever win, if like both, if either San Diego State or Virginia play them, I feel like that's a gauntlet.
I just feel like both those teams, like Bama is so good defensively too. Like people just always think like they're a really good offensive team. We're like,
no, yeah, they are really good.
I just don't think I like both Virginia and South or San Diego State. But like I don't think they're good enough offensively to keep up with them, even though like they're both really good defensive teams.
I think, UVA and Bama are just complete opposites, but then Bama also has a good defense.
Yeah.
So, this is my bracket. But
no, I forgot who was at the bottom.
Yeah, but if I even see UVA coming out of, like, the first round, because there are a good amount of, like, I see the most upsets happening in this region, like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Furman and Charleston both are pretty decent bets to win.
Furman.
You have that?
Yeah. I have Furman beating San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Oh, really? What is that? Round of 32?
Yeah.
And then I have them losing to Bama.
Yeah, I can see it. They've been very good all year.
I don't like the hype around. Like, I feel like the popular upset picks never turn out. Like Charleston, too many people are picking Charleston, so it's just not going to happen.
I just don't really.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like last year, like the big upset pick was Providence to lose, and they won a big run. So like I'm not taking, or I don't want to say I'm not taking any like the popular upsets, but like I'm really hesitant about them.
I'm taking some of them, just not Charleston.
Yeah. Like I think I have like one or two of like the popular ones, but
there's gonna be
I
one.
I think Kent State is a popular one. I picked that one over Indiana.
I could not take Kent State.
Yeah, not. That's Julian Edelman's school right there.
Oh, that's right. There's
no, that
one
makes no difference.
There's one upset that I'm probably going to change, but it's
is
not
it Chattanooga?
No. It's not in this region, so I'm gonna wait.
I really only have like one upset that's like, I don't want to say it's outlandish, but like,
yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
I know.
Do you know what mine is?
No, but like, yeah. I know. I don't.
Wait, Jared, did you send the bracket?
I don't think anyone's going to agree with
what?
It.
He did it.
Oh, and you don't have the link?
No, it's the.
So you have Furman. Do you have any other crazy upsets in this region? And you have, you have Furman in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, my only other really big upset is Creighton over Baylor.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen a lot of brackets with that. You have that too?
Well, I have Creighton winning in the second round, not against Baylor, though.
You have UCSB winning? Oh, wow.
That's, yeah, that's my one outlandish upset.
That is crazy.
I have Maryland beating West Virginia.
I do too.
Baylor's just like very, very inconsistent. Their defense is really bad. Like, they kind of remind me of Iowa last year. And UCSB matches up really well with them.
Yeah, they do.
I think they have, like, the way I look at it is like, yeah, like Baylor's, I mean, obviously like the higher seeded definitely have a better chance of winning, but like I think either way they'll lose in the next round to Creighton, because I have Creighton going to the Elite Eight. They're one of the most well-rounded teams, and they're very underseeded based off like KenPom rankings and all that other rankings.
I also have Creighton in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, so I kind of just – I could see UCSB winning. That's a good matchup for them. And I have either team losing the next round anyways.
I guess with that knowledge, yeah. So Baylor is the team that I do have my Final Four.
Yeah, that's why I said I think one person would
I disagree
with it.
I actually have them in my final.
Wow.
Yeah, it's random. I'm not going to say it's not. I just think that the left side of the bracket is very weak this year. And the right side, I think, is very strong.
I think Montana State has
The bottom right region, was that
the Kansas
West? It's tough as hell, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. I agree. I think, the bottom right, you said?
West. Yeah. With Kansas, yeah. Gonzaga,
the top
UCLA.
Four teams could all easily make it to the championship, I think.
I think three of the top four could. And honestly, that's it. But those four teams are very good.
I think I know the team you don't think will get there.
I think
that's the team I have in the Final Four.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have in the Final Four?
Well, I'll talk about when we get to that region.
Oh, okay.
They kind of fucked me over last year, but you know what?
Yeah,
let's go with them again.
I have Baylor coming out of this region, and I know that that's a little strange. But usually, you know, you get one or two teams that, like, look good, and a lot of people are kind of doubting, and then they end up actually going on a pretty big run. I feel like Villanova was kind of like that last year, and I was very – I don't think I have them in my
Aren't they a
two
seed, though?
Yeah, Baylor's a three seed, and no one really is
– Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Everyone was kind of doubting – Villanova. I don't think I picked them to go to the Final Four, but I probably picked them to go to the Elite Eight at least.
Who's Baylor's best player? Like who? Like
Adam Flagler.
Oh, I remember.
They have three really good guards.
They have Flagler, LJ Cryer, I think his name is, and Keontae George, who's a freshman and is really really good. And they have a big guy, and he has like four names. It is okay.
Jonathan Chama.
Yeah, something. Okay. It's that
Michael J. Fox.
So yeah. As long as they get past UCSB, which when I pick my brackets, I don't even
Valerie. Okay, I'll stop.
I don't even check the 1, 2, and 3 seeds first games because I know I'm not gonna pick it. So as long as they get past UCSB, they have a defensive guy that could stop Ryan Kalkbrenner for Creighton, who was really good. And I think
he shoots over 70%.
Does he really?
That's crazy. Yeah, I just saw that today.
He's really good, but I think that Baylor can stop him. Again, you have to also take into account they play in the best conference in college basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they play Arizona, or what I have is them playing Arizona in the Sweet 16. And Arizona is labeled as a choke team every single time. Or not, they're not labeled as that, but they are a choke team. They never really – they have made the Final Four since I don't even know when, and a lot of people always pick them too. That one was really close. I knew whoever I was picking in that was going to make the final because, again, I don't really love the bottom left region. And I picked Baylor. I think that they have more experience and less experience choking. I think they have a very, really good coach in Scott Drew. And then I have them against Bama. And I don't know. It was kind of just me not wanting to go chalk either and wanting to be a little different. But I legit think that they could go on a very big run.
I have Bama going to the Final Four.
Yes, yeah, I have Bama in my championship.
Same.
Which is a very popular pick, so I'm going to regret it.
Yeah, so there are two – I'd say there's two games in this bracket that are pretty close and, like, where you could go 50-50. Maryland and West Virginia, who you guys have?
That is – I have Maryland.
I have West Virginia.
I also have West Virginia. Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for them. They're also really hot.
Who, West Virginia?
They're very –
Maryland's also very bad on the road.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another thing I looked at a lot when filling out my bracket is, like, teams that – rely on playing at home. I also took it with a grain of salt because like Big Ten teams all really struggle on the road, but that's like it's just kind of different. Like that's just like a known thing. Like home teams are much better in Big Ten. But I took West Virginia. And then what about I'm guessing you all have them losing next round though.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think there's any way
there. What about Mizzou and Utah
you know who State? You know who's Maryland beating Bama? Connor.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, it's bold.
Yeah, I mean.
Who, Dave's roommate?
Yeah.
I feel like there's always a one seed that loses in the second round.
I was
looking at that today. And like for the most part, yes, and then there's like one outlier.
Again, anything is possible. Yeah, he does. I kind of like it, actually.
Mizzou, Utah State?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up next, that game.
So originally when that came out on the screen, I think like James said he likes Utah State, and then like four people said that they like Missouri, and I – was one of them, and now I changed to Utah State. Missouri's defense is garbage, and I don't really know too much about Utah State, but I just think that they're going to win. I don't know.
I liked Utah State from the start. I mean, I like Missouri, but, like, I've liked Utah State a lot. Like, both teams are just going to put up a lot of points, but the difference is Utah State is going to dominate the boards, and – Missouri doesn't really turn the ball over, so that's one thing. But I just think Utah State is the better team, and it'll be a back and forth game. So, like, if any of you are bettors out there, I think live betting would be a good choice in this game. But yeah, I think Utah State's going to win. And I was kind of considering them beating Arizona in the next round, but I decided against it.
I was considering it. So you have Utah State?
Yep.
Next trigger, who do you got?
I have Utah State as well.
Oh, so we're all okay. All right, so yeah, interesting. All right, I guess we're good to move on to the Midwest. So this is Houston's region. Houston's a one seed, I think, for the first time in school history. I saw the most important thing about this region is that the Nittany Lions are dancing.
Yes, sir.
They're gonna lose in the second round of Texas. The third round.
I agree, but we were not happy when we drew Texas A&M.
Yeah, not a great matchup.
All right, so I guess we'll just get to that.
I have A&M winning, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's
unpatriotic of you.
They're going to lose to Texas no matter what.
Yeah, I mean,
Jeez, what was that?
Damn.
The thing is, like, it's a bracket where there's 64 teams. Like, if I get one game wrong, I don't care. Like, yeah, I think A&M
I had them beating Texas at first. I'm like, you know.
Like A&M, I think
if they win, I'll be happy either way. So
A&M,
I'm hedging.
Is a much better team than
I
don't know about a much better team, but they're a better team than we are. I think that they were severely underseeded as a 7.
I think it's a good matchup for us, honestly.
It's not a terrible matchup.
I think it's a pretty good matchup for us.
Yeah,
very good team, but it's a good matchup for us.
I also already have 2 7-10 upsets, and I don't feel like 3 of them are going to happen. So I'm kind of just playing the statistics game.
Fair enough.
Oh yeah, I do too.
I also don't have any like 3-14 or 2-15 upsets. I just don't think it's gonna happen.
No, I don't even try.
It's probably gonna happen, but
I don't like. I think if Texas A&M got a different draw, or if they were just a different seed, like I think that they could have made a Final Four run, or at least or an Elite Eight run. I think in my backup bracket, I put them in the Final Four.
It's personal though. Did you see that video that Josh? No. They were dancing. They were dancing on the walk to the bus and stuff. Like they were having like a parade and stuff. Like Texas A&M. I do the play, so that it means more.
So that means Penn State winning.
Exactly.
Yeah, I pick Penn State. I it's not a bad matchup for us. They're just really good. They're like us but better.
But like
so theoretically, we're the type
of team.
Yeah,
we're the type of team in the tournament that could make a huge run. Or just lose.
Completely fall flat.
Senior heavy, like I think we could, we definitely.
We're the most experienced team in college basketball.
Not in tournaments.
Though. Just not.
Well, no, yeah, but in terms of like years played in college basketball.
Underrated head coach too.
Very underrated. And Jalen Pickett, second team all.
AP, chip on the shoulder.
Whatever. Chip on his shoulder. There are guys that have been on this team for a while that are looking for their March Madness moment in Seth Lundy. Miles Dredd, who isn't good, but he's
been playing good lately. Though.
Yeah, he had a good turn.
I'm actually get goosebumps seeing Penn State play on a floor that says March Madness.
Yeah, I'm so excited. We do play at 10.
That's sick though. It's the last game of the night.
Yeah.
That's
we're prime time, baby.
Andrew Funk is one of the best 3-point shooters in college basketball. I think, even though he can go through some very very cold spells,
you can tell early on if he's on or not.
Our problem is we can't rebound, so. We can't
A&M have any. I'm assuming A&M is.
They're not like huge.
They get to the line the most in college basketball,
and we don't get to the line like ever.
Yeah. We're last.
Yeah. We're
and we foul a lot too.
And we foul a lot.
Kebe, whatever. That could just be fouls like 8 times.
Yeah, which that's not a problem. He's like. Well, it's not a problem that he's always.
Yeah, but before. They're also one of the worst teams at defending the three,
which we are very.
We also have the least. We're one of the least turnover prone teams.
Yeah, college basketball. Which is what they're good at.
What causing turnovers?
Yeah, so one of those is going to give. Hopefully, it's not. Yeah, if I told myself that I was going to pick Texas A&M to lose in the first round, like a week ago, I would have probably called myself crazy. But they drew Penn State, so I can't just not pick them. And it's a very me thing to not pick Penn State, but I can't.
So because this is so rare, right?
That is a possibility.
sorry to just interrupt there.
The other reason why I just picked Penn State is because I think that either team will lose to Texas in the next round anyway, who I think is really good.
Well, we all know who I have winning the national championship.
Yeah.
It's Texas.
Do you have any – you want to share why?
Sir Jabari Rice. Also, they blew out Kansas by 20 points in the whatever championship they're in, Big 12.
Yeah, the only thing that discourages me about that is there was no Bill Self.
No, no.
But
Texas is playing with an interim coach. That they blew him out by 20.
Very true. Yeah, they had to, I saw something that like you like picking teams in March Madness that go through a lot of adversity, and like Texas has probably been through the most.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just saw Sir Jabari Rice and I was all in. I would have stuck with Providence, but they're an 11 seed. They're not going to win. I have them losing in the first round of Providence.
So what do you guys think about the road here for Houston?
I think
it gets easy up until they play Texas.
It's easy until they play Kent State.
I have that as well.
So, oh, I have that too. I haven't beaten Miami.
Before the year, I bet on Houston to win it all. So I'm kind of just riding that out. And like, shut up, Siri. Get the fuck off my screen. All right. Like, I'm kind of worried with Marcus Sasser being injured. But like, you go back the past two tournaments, like last year, Marcus Sasser didn't play and they still made the Elite Eight. So I'm not really too worried. It's kind of weird to me how like last year as a 5 seed, they made the Elite Eight. And then 2 years ago as a 2 seed, they made the Final Four. And now all of a sudden they're a 1 seed and everyone's like worrying about them and saying they're frauds as 1 seed. I don't know. It's just kind of like them getting recognition for what they've done in the past. Like they play either Iowa or Auburn in the second round, which I have Auburn winning because it's pretty much a home game for them. And then I don't think Auburn's actually that good.
You mean Iowa's not that good?
Well, no. So, like, I have Houston playing Auburn in the second round because, like, I have Auburn beating Iowa because, like,
it's in Birmingham.
Yeah. And then I think they'll beat Auburn because they're really not a good team. And then I have them playing Kent State, which I was. During when they released this region, I was pissed because my three favorite teams are Houston, Kent State, and Penn State. It's very random, but like, I think Kent State could actually make a run to the Final Four. And I'm not just saying that to be like,
it's a little bold.
I've been saying it though. Like I'm not just pulling some of my ass now. Like I think they have a realistic chance against Houston. They lost them by 5 earlier in the year. They lost to Gonzaga by 7. Like they lost to all these really good teams, like by a very close margin. Like I think if Houston doesn't make it out, like this is a very bold take, but I think Kent State will. They could just lose first round, and I sound like an idiot, but I'm willing to take that chance.
Low-key, I think this is the toughest region.
Yeah. I think there's some weak spots.
Out of this is Houston versus Kent State and Pitt versus Texas. So
I have Xavier, Texas. I don't know. There's
I also have Xavier, Texas.
I just don't know anything about Xavier. So
I have Pitt, Texas.
Let's go, baby. We're riding Pitt, Texas.
The only reason why I have Xavier there is because I don't trust anyone else to get there. Like, it would either be Iowa State or Pittsburgh, and I think that one's kind of a toss-up, so I'm not going to pick them.
I don't like either of those teams. Like, I like Pittsburgh early in the year, but they've kind of been falling off, and Iowa State's been one of the worst Power 5 teams away from home.
They're also really bad at free throws.
Yeah, like, I can't trust them. Like, I picked them. They were my sleeper team last year, and they made a run, but I can't.
I remember that.
Yeah, I can't pick them again, and yeah.
They have really good guard play, and they can score a lot and defend. Like, there is a good overall team, so I had them win in the first game. I also had Kent State over Indiana.
That's the one thing I don't like. Like, it's so popular, but I can't just like go back on what I'm not going to go back on what I said earlier in the year.
I feel like we're just forgetting about Trace Jackson Davis though.
He's very good. I just think that they're overseeded as a 4.
Definitely. I think of them as like a 6 seed.
Yeah. And I think that
that means they get a better matchup, or do they? Because Kent State, you never know.
Yeah, right. Because I think Kent State's actually good. If they drew another 13 seed, like I probably wouldn't have had them lose.
Yeah, same. If they played,
well, they played Furman, I'd still have them losing.
If they played any other 13 seed here, I would have had them.
Well, there's one other one that I have winning, but we'll get to
Furman
or no? I don't know.
You have Tennessee losing.
I do.
I'm sorry, just spoil that, but.
I will give you $20 if that happens.
Yes. I will not.
Which is probably the same as if UCSB beats Baylor. So it's like anything can happen.
All right. So who do you guys have, Iowa or Auburn?
They're playing in Alabama.
Yeah, Auburn. That's like the only reason.
They're going to have home court advantage.
Iowa's just really bad defensively. And like teams that are out of like the top 100 defensively tend to do really bad in the tournament, kind of like Iowa last year.
Yeah.
Like sure. It's.
Am I the only one riding Iowa?
I have Iowa.
Okay. So I think I'm a big hater of Fran McCaffrey. I've seen that team also drop
their coach. Christian McCaffrey?
I've also seen that man get a team to drop 100 points in a basketball game, too. In an away game, yeah.
Jesus.
So,
where they also let up 100.
Jeez.
No, I don't think so. In the Big Ten tournament?
Oh,
in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah. Against last year.
Last year.
They lost the first game, I think. This year.
Yeah. So they lost to Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now Auburn has Jabari Smith III, so I think they're going to.
But they
wipe the floor.
Never mind. That's stupid. Chris Murray is literally just a clone of Keegan Murray, and their center.
But he's a lefty, right?
I don't know. Philip Baraccia or whatever. Their center. He's like from Spain. He's pretty good. I think he got all second Big Ten honors with Jalen Pickett.
Yeah.
He's that good. And they had the whole McCaffrey cult, like you can't sleep on them. They'll turn into like prime JJ Redick clones.
Yeah.
At like point blank. So like I can see a team like them being very hot to like kind of get enough wins. But like best believe I still have them losing to Houston.
Yeah. At 10 o'clock I'm gonna go back to study.
Okay. That's okay. I have Iowa. Winning too. I just don't think Auburn's good. I think Auburn as a 9 is kind of bullshit. But I almost did Drake over Miami because Miami's a little hurt right now. But Miami's offense is so good that I think that they can.
Don't they have like the Isaiah Wong?
Yeah, like they can compete with anyone. We saw them make a run last year, and they're like pretty much
just the Kent State.
I have that also.
I have Drake, but like I saw a TikTok today of like the whole Miami team saying don't pick us and like listing out all their accolades and then just saying like don't pick us. So like now I kind of want to pick them.
But Miles Sanders said not to pick him in fantasy, and he kind of had
to exactly. But either way, I have 10, the right? either way I have the winner of that losing to Kent State, so I might keep it. But
all right, yeah. I mean, I guess those are only kind of the close matches we talked about Penn State A&M. So
and so does everyone have Houston and Texas coming out of this?
Yeah, that's my lead eight, and I have Houston winning.
I have Houston.
I think
Houston as well.
I have Houston Xavier my lead eight.
Oh no, you have Texas. I'm stupid.
I was just about to say. Before I go, I'll announce my top, my elite or my final four because okay. I'm not going to be here for the end of it. All
right. Are we going to the west, the bottom right now?
Sure.
So Kansas.
Wait, the finals in NRG Stadium?
Yeah, it's in
that's Texas. In Texas, baby. Yeah. Houston, Texas. Give me that. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I have a Texas versus Texas final. So
I'll take Texas in NRG Stadium all day. Hey, what team's out of Texas, Marquette?
No.
They're far from it.
Yeah.
They're in Marquette's in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're in Milwaukee.
I was just guessing. I don't know what other teams in Texas.
You'll see
Houston.
They're in the same division.
Yeah.
I said it already.
Oh, Baylor.
Yeah.
I forgot Baylor's in Texas.
Yeah.
I thought they were like in Oregon or Seattle or something. No. I don't know why.
So the defending champion Kansas Jayhawks are the one seed in the West. You guys said that this was the toughest one. I don't know. I kind of think like only two teams are in this division are like threatening to beat them. I have Kansas coming out of this division. I think that a lot of like the blue blood teams aren't here, meaning that a lot of the great coaches aren't here. And I think that Bill Self is.
Well, is he going to be there?
Well, as long as he comes back, which they probably won't even use him for the first game.
I don't know. Howard's a tough draw.
They're playing Howard, who was in the final four for my coin flip bracket.
I like Houston in my coin flip bracket. Yeah, I was so happy.
That's insane.
They were playing a 16 seed.
and Kansas, Jalen Wilson's probably going to be second in player for the year behind Zach Edey, I think. They have that white guy, Grady Dick, who's really good. And they have a few of the returning players from the championship team last year. The only thing that probably limited them from being the number one seed is that they lost two in a row to Texas. But even without their head coach, they dominated West Virginia, who was a 9 seed, and Iowa State, who was a 6 seed. So I think Kansas is fine. And again, I don't really view any of these teams besides UCLA and UConn as I think are the only other two teams that can actually compete in this division. I actually think this division, besides those three teams, is not that great. Which, now that I said that, fucking Boise State's going to make the Final Four. But I don't know. What do you? If you guys think that this one's a lot more competitive, then I guess you guys would have more to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think UConn is a very good team. I mean, they just had one really bad stretch. And before that, they were one of the best teams in the country, and after that they're one of the best teams in the country. Like they haven't their only loss like recently is in the conference tournament to Marquette by like 2 points. I have them taking down Kansas in the Sweet 16, and I have them playing against Gonzaga in the Elite Eight, and I have Gonzaga going all the way.
I don't know how I feel about Gonzaga this year.
I said it last year, and like I'm saying it again, which it's probably stupid, but everyone's doubting them. I mean, last year they were a 1 seed, so like I guess they weren't doubted as much. But now they're a 3 seed. Everyone's forgetting about them. Yet they're still one of the best teams in the country, and they've been playing like it recently. So
they did win the WCC, and
they blew out St. Mary's.
Yeah,
that's a good team too.
Yeah,
too bad I have them losing to VCU, St. Mary's.
So I might change to that.
Like I was between UConn and Gonzaga going to the Final Four for a while, but I end up going with Gonzaga.
I have UConn advancing.
Yeah. Final Four. I don't know. I don't like UCLA because their best defensive player's out for the tournament.
Yeah.
For the tournament?
Yeah. Oh,
God.
Yeah, he like tore his Achilles. They still have a really good team.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Like, but they were.
I have them playing UConn in the Sweet 16, UCLA.
Yeah, I think UCLA is – UCLA, I legit can definitely – I can definitely see them beating Kansas. like Jaime Hawkins is really good.
I've moved three seasons.
Tyron Campbell is a really fast, good floor general. And Treacher, what's the other guard that they have? UCLA?
Mari Bailey.
Yeah, he's really good too.
He's really good.
So they're a fun ass team to watch. It's just the Pac-12 is, especially this year, is pretty weak. So
top heavy.
Yeah, very top heavy. So
you got Cal, who's 3-28.
Yeah, and honestly, since Jalen Clark got hurt, like that whole Pac-12 tournament, they made the championship, but they didn't win those games all too convincingly. They were losing to Colorado for much of the first half, and then they lost to Arizona. They beat Oregon by a decent amount, but I think that they're really good. I think that they'll get it all together for the tournament. They have a few days to prepare without Jalen Clark, so
I'm gonna go back to study.
Yeah. All right. So what's your?
You know, I might announce my final four.
Yeah, might as well.
So on the left side, I have Bama versus Duke, because I don't know. I feel like Duke can, like, that's a tough division, but I feel like Duke can get it done. I don't know why. And then on the right, I have Texas versus UConn, and in the final, it's Texas versus Bama, and I have Texas winning.
There you go.
Because Texas. I only have one.
It sounds like a football champion.
I only have one seed in the final four, and that's kind of scaring me. But I just genuinely think that Bama is the only one seed that can kind of make it to the
final. There was only one last year. Yeah, it was Kansas.
Oh, well, I don't feel as bad then.
Yeah, it was Kansas. The UNC was an 8, Duke was a 2, and Nova was a 2.
I'm just excited for the Shiwei versus Edie matchup in the Sweet 16. Okay. Is there a big on Duke?
Wait, we haven't talked about the East, right?
Not yet. He's just doing his final four.
I said Shiwei to Duke. Okay. That's how much you can tell I pay attention to college basketball. And with that, I'm going to go back.
All right. Hey, Shrieker, what about you with the West? This is the only one you haven't finished yet, right?
So I haven't done that one. I've been waiting for this Nevada-Arizona State game to play out, and I still have to finish some of the stats. But the teams that I really like, I'm a big Jaime Hawkins fan, so, like, I can't just, like, not – the bias in me wants to say at UCLA so badly. There's a lot of good teams in this, like, category. The thing with Arkansas is
that whole team game is
just all freshmen.
Yeah.
So they could either they could either just beat a not competitive Illinois team, or they could lose by like 30 to Illinois. It all depends on what Illinois team shows up.
Yeah.
And what Arkansas team shows up too.
Like games like that, it's just a toss up. I kind of just like looked at the betting line and based who I was going to pick off that, like, because I really don't know. It's just such toss. They're two very inconsistent but talented teams. I'm like, it could go either way. Like, I'll just see what the line is and kind of based off that. Because I have Illinois winning. It's like, I haven't really changed it that much because either way I have Kansas winning, but like we said, like they're two very talented teams where like they could beat Kansas, but it's just hard to
kind of play perfectly.
Yeah. Or I mean, not even that. They just have to play good, but like they don't do that much. Yeah, so
that's true. I have Illinois beating Arkansas. I think Arkansas is just too inexperienced. The thing is that their coach is experienced. They've made the Final Four the Elite Eight the last 2 years. Eric Musselman's a really good coach, but I think that this will be their time to kind of stall out, and I think Illinois will get them. I tried not to have a lot of Big Ten bias, but I just kind of like a lot of their first matchup, the first round.
So what does everyone think about Northwestern and Boise State?
I have Northwestern. Northwestern's a very good defensive team.
Yeah, I
get a free throws.
So I have Boise State because they're both very good defensive teams. The only thing is I think Boise State can actually score. Northwestern's been pretty cold lately. But the one thing that scares me is I saw the Big Ten is like dominant in 7-10 games as a 7 seed, which it's a random stat, but like
they're like
30 not gonna let that affect who I pick.
I think they're like 30-1 or something like that.
30-1.
Maybe I read that wrong, but that's definitely wrong. But
yeah, it may have been like 13-1, honestly.
Maybe that's what it is. I have Northwestern. This game just had halftime right now. Arizona State's up pretty big.
Yeah. I have them beating TCU. I had whoever was winning this beating TCU. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, so
I like both these teams.
I think Arizona State, if they hold on to this, I'm going to change to them beating TCU. I think if Nevada wins, I'll keep so I have TCU right now beating Gonzaga and going to the Sweet 16. But if Nevada wins, I'm going to keep that. If Arizona State wins, I'm going to change to Arizona State beating TCU.
So you're changing to Arizona State?
Most likely. But then I'm also going to double down and keep and put Arizona State also over Gonzaga. Because I agree with what you're saying with how this is probably the year for Gonzaga that, like, everyone is doubting them. And, you know, everyone always picks them, so this must be the year kind of thing. And I never really bought into that because I have never picked them. But I would agree that this would probably be the year to do it. But
I had never picked them either until last year.
Yeah.
And but we all saw how that
went. My one of my only rules is just to never pick Gonzaga. So I'm not even.
Oh, I told myself after last year.
I'm just not going to bother. I mean, I picked them to go to the Final Four, but, like, that's it. So I'm not going to bother with doing it again. So either TCU is beating them if they play Nevada, or Arizona State's beating them if they beat Gonzaga. So that's what I think. And that is the only 11 over 6 that I'll have, because I have all the other 6. I think the 6 seeds this year are actually very good, which is scary, because that's the team that most likely loses in the round. So I have Kansas. You have UConn, or you have Gonzaga. Shaker, you're still not finished yet? Mm-mm. Okay. All right, so let's go to the East. The last one. This one hurt because I mean, I'm a Penn State basketball fan because I go here and I love watching them. But
I just want to say I changed some of the things because the one thing that stopped a good chunk of my bracket was I had Pitt actually going on a run all the way till the Sweet 16. But the only big problem with that is if Federico, their center, is going to play. Because we all saw how burger their team was yesterday.
Federico.
That's actually what their center's name is.
Wow. That's bad.
But they had a freshman playing at center last night. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this Federico guy has a knee injury. So I feel like they're going to try rushing him on Friday, and I just don't see it. And so I have Iowa State winning, and then Iowa State versus Xavier, and then Xavier winning. Because before, I had Pitt beating Xavier. And I have Xavier beating Texas.
I do too.
So do you have Houston Xavier then, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. How far down are you on the West?
I don't have any head-to-head. I still have to do, like, 3 more stats.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so going to the East, yeah. Oh, so like I was saying, I've been a UNC basketball fan since I was in, like, 6th grade.
Where they at?
They're not here, and it sucks. And what really sucks is that I really like Duke this year. They are the definition of peaking at the right time. What's great is that they drew Oral Roberts in the first round, and Oral Roberts is probably the best mid-major team in this. Like, that is seeded as a 12 or lower. They have pretty much all of the same guys from when they made they went to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, they've
2 years ago.
I mean, their star player is still there, and then they got some 7-5 center.
There you go. So they're nasty, and
I actually think they're really overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Some of their non-conference, like, they started out actually kind of bad. Like, in their non-conference games, they just beat up on their conference, which is absolutely terrible. They just played the Dakotas. Like, they lost to Houston by over 40. And I know Houston's a 1 seed, but, like, we think Duke could hang around in a game with Houston, right? They could probably even beat them. Oral Roberts shouldn't even been on the same court as Houston. They also lost to some other teams early on in the year that, like, probably shouldn't have if they're going to make a run.
Where are they located?
Oklahoma.
They're in Oklahoma.
Tulsa, I believe.
So that is one of the most – I think that, and honestly, no bias, I think that Penn State, Texas A&M, I think those are the two probably most intriguing first games.
Yeah.
Either that and Maryland, West Virginia, I think is going to be a very good game, which is great because that's the first one.
I think USC, Michigan.
So I think that – yeah, that'll be good.
Okay, so other games Oral Roberts lost. They lost to St. Mary's by 8. And they lost to Utah State by 10. Mm-hmm. Those are the only notable games they played. or teams in the tournament, and they lost all of them by like 8 or more.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I picked Duke, and I picked Duke to do more than that. But yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, you get Jeremy Roach back, you have fucking Derek Lively is the center's name.
Yeah.
And Kyle Filipowski. Those are two bigs, which you never really, for college basketball, you don't see teams dominated by two bigs. So I think that offers them a huge advantage.
The weird thing is that Derek Lively isn't the best offensively, but then Filipowski is good offensively and defensively, but Derek Lively is really good defensively. So it's like they kind of complement each other in a way.
And I think the ACC is kind of similar to the Pac-12, where it's very top heavy. And I think those teams are probably a little worse than the teams in the Pac-12. Like, but Miami's really good. NC State is pretty solid. Clemson is pretty solid, even though they didn't end up making the tournament. Even UNC is like, they're still a decent team. And yeah, so we saw in the tournament they beat Miami in an offensive shootout.
Yeah, that's like their defense was good all year, and now their offense has been.
Their offense is peaking at the right time. They destroyed Pitt, who made the tournament, obviously.
Yep.
And then they beat Miami in an offensive game, which Miami plays really good offense. And then they beat Virginia in a defensive slugfest. So that just goes to show you that they are well equipped and can win in a variety of ways. And I think that's really, really important, especially at this time of the year. And they did those against tournament teams, which is very important. And they did all that 3 days in a row, which is important because it shows you they didn't even need all that preparation. Imagine how they're going to do with at least a day of preparation for all these games. So, yeah, I unfortunately have Duke in my Final Four.
Yeah, like so. I hate that I have Duke also because that's like a popular pick now. And like a popular five seed to go to the Final Four is really sketchy, I feel.
It kind of
– Also
– It's kind of drawing similar, like – vibes to Iowa last year because they were also a five.
They're very different teams.
I'm not going to change everything now. So
yeah, I can't just completely change. Because, like, the one thing that scares me is, like, I feel like one of the weakest and least talked about one seeds last year was Kansas.
It was.
And that's kind of what Purdue is right now. And they still have a 7-4 center. Like, what I've started to think about is, like, they fell off at the end of the year, like had a little rough patch, but like that's because all these teams have already played ED and know what to expect. Like none of these teams are going to have played anyone like him. So like, I'm kind of worried about that. And like, it's tough because I do have Duke. And if I wanted to make a change, like it have to go all the way back to the Sweet 16. Like
exactly.
So I'm really tempted to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, it's just too late. I don't want to make changes and like, but I think Purdue could make a run just because, like, they're very overlooked right now.
So Jared mentioned before that one of us probably has, like, a one seed losing in, like, the second round. And I do. I have Purdue to Memphis.
I have Memphis losing first round.
Okay.
No, that one was so close.
That one
to
is
me.
That's
another, like, really popular pick because, like, Memphis is, like, because they're just, like, this. Yeah, it's – well, because, like, Memphis is like coached by Penny Hardaway that he gets all these recruits. So like, I feel like all these people who like don't really know like college basketball as much, like just see Memphis like, oh, well they're like nasty. And like, they almost beat Gonzaga last year. But I think Memphis is a really good team. And I think they could beat Purdue if they make it there. Cause they match up well. But I think they match up better with Purdue than FAU, but I think FAU is just a really good team. And like, yeah, also, people see FAU and like, yeah, Memphis should destroy these guys. They're much more talented. But like,
they lost three games this year.
Yeah, they lost three games. And like, in their conference championship, they kind of blew out the team they were playing, which is UAB, who is a very good team all year. They had like one of the best guards in all of college basketball.
See, I'm not that confident. The only problem was it came to a tie in my thing.
Really?
Memphis
1. FAU?
Yeah. So then I was just, like, trying to find, like, stats that like, could, like, help me out. And, like, so I did assist percentage, and then Memphis beat them there. So that's why I'm riding with Memphis.
Fair enough. Yeah, I have Memphis, too. It's just, like, I feel like they're just more battle-tested than FAU, which doesn't always matter in March. But I just I wanted to go with it. Like, it was very close. Like, even when I was looking at all the stats and, like, previous games and everything, like, Memphis winning the AAC, like, that's, I don't really care about that.
I was going to say, that's another Sasser thing. Didn't play. I feel like people see they won their tournament, like, they're a hot team, but it's like Houston was playing without their best player and kind of played it safe because of that, and they knew they already had a one seed on lock. Like, they had nothing to play for there. Meanwhile, Memphis had a lot more to play for.
Yeah,
exactly. They probably still would have made the tournament, but as a much lower seed.
Oh, they definitely would have still made it. Like, they were pretty much locked for a while.
Yeah,
but FAU doesn't have the 26-year-old on their team though.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. There? Yeah, I saw TikTok about
Memphis that. Has a 26-year-old that is really good and is playing on their team. Experience. And the reason why
he's only like a sophomore, junior in eligibility, I think.
Yeah, because he
didn't start until he's 22 or something.
Yeah, he went to like some school, but like that school like didn't count his credits. Yeah. So then he had to go to a prep school and then transfer from like prep school to Memphis. And by that time he was 21.
Interesting. All right. So I have Louisiana over Tennessee.
I just couldn't.
I just can't see that. Like I get that's the team you might want to like pick as an upset against because they've been really cold and like they're one of their best players is injured, but like, they're still so good defensively, and they're still ranked as a top 10 team. So I just find it hard to believe. I mean, I have them losing next round because they're not that good. Like, they should lose like Power 5 teams, but like teams like this, they're just going to be way too much for them defensively.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like possible. I just
yeah, but like anything can happen. So.
I don't know. I wanted a few things to be like different than others, yeah. And I don't know. Tennessee has kind of, I feel like they've kind of entered that choke team narrative because they last year lost to Michigan in the second round when no one was expecting that, when they had a much better, I think a better team than they do this year.
Yeah.
And then in the year before, they were. I don't know. I believe that they were a very high seeded team and they
always
lost.
Are, yeah. I think they're like a 2 seed.
And they lost
maybe like, that was a few years ago.
And they lost like pretty early. So I don't know. I kinda like when you look at the stats and everything, you also kinda have to remember things that happened in the past history. Louisiana also is a pretty solid mid major team. They did very well in their conference. So I don't know. I went with that. Again, I think that either team is going to lose next round to Duke anyway. Oh, honestly, I think that either team will lose to Oral Roberts too. So who cares, in my opinion. But, yeah. I pick Kentucky over Providence. Does everyone have that?
Kentucky
yeah,
over
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. See, the problem was the Alabama had Providence, but then it took Providence all the way to the – Sweet 16, and I just didn't see that happen.
The one thing with Providence is they're just a really good home team, and like I think they have like one loss all year at home.
I saw their defensive efficiency is like atrocious.
They have a really good player,
147
in Bryce Hopkins.
Yeah, who transferred from Kentucky.
He did.
That's like the narrative there, yeah, which is like makes it very interesting, I think.
But I don't know. I like Kentucky's been pretty. I have Kentucky in my Elite Eight.
Yeah, I have them in the Sweet 16. I think Kansas State is really – I think they're one of the most overrated teams in this tournament.
I liked them going into, like, last week. And then, I don't know, their Big 12 tournament game kind of turned me off. They have some good players, but, like, I just – I kind of think that they're overrated too now. So I have Kentucky beating them in the next round, and then I also have them beating Marquette in the Sweet 16 because Marquette, as good as they are and as much as they can score – they are one of the worst rebounding teams in, like, the – I don't know about the one of the worst rebounding teams in college basketball, but they struggle to rebound, and Kentucky has probably the best or second-best rebounder in college basketball in Oscar Tshiebwe. And, I mean, they're not very experienced because they're Kentucky and lost their first game last year, so they didn't get – like, build a huge run, but I think that this is the year. Like, Kentucky usually goes on some pretty – big runs in the NCAA tournament. And
also, we saw what happened with Marquette last year.
Did they have Shaka, though?
Yeah. Shaka Smart
lost by,
also,
like, 30 to UNC in the first round.
He also hasn't won a tournament game since 2014.
Yeah, that's the narrative I've seen with him. Yep.
So I almost picked Marquette to lose to Michigan State.
But then there's also a narrative with Tony Bennett, the Virginia coach. He is like a pretty mid.
He's also won a championship. He's also won a championship.
That's the thing. Yeah. No, yeah, Virginia though also is labeled like Virginia, Arizona, Kansas. Honestly, before last
Virginia
year
is like the biggest choke
team. Yeah, Virginia, yeah. Virginia and Arizona, I feel like are the two most. Except Virginia ended up winning one, so yeah. You give them a lot. You give them a big asterisk. But yeah, I almost picked Michigan State over Marquette. I don't really trust them. I think that they're a team that can score a lot, but they play terrible defense. And
yeah, I think they're the worst two seed.
But oh yeah, for sure. The thing
it's weird
the...
because I have them going the furthest of all the two seeds.
Really?
Yeah, you have them in the Elite Eight.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I had Kentucky beating them. I think that they're a very good matchup, or a very bad matchup for Marquette, so I think that they'll win that game. So, Shrieker, what's your Elite Eight?
So, my Elite Eight, minus the two from the West, are Houston Xavier, Bama Zona, and Memphis Marquette.
Do you have Memphis beating Duke?
Yes. And no, I changed that now to Tennessee beating Duke. I know Ziegler's out.
Oh, okay.
But I have Tennessee there, but Memphis. Memphis is going on a run, and I was doing the calculations between Memphis and Marquette now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So my Elite Eight is Baylor over Alabama, Houston over Texas, Kansas over UCLA, and Duke over Kentucky. I have Baylor beating Duke in the Final Four, and I have Houston over Kansas, and I have Houston over Baylor in my championship. So an all-Texas national championship in Texas, what the Final Four is, and Houston wins.
So I have Bama beating Creighton, Houston beating Xavier, Gonzaga beating UConn,
oh, shit,
and Duke beating Marquette.
Bengals got Orlando Brown.
Damn. And then Final Four, Bama beating Duke, Houston beating Gonzaga, and Houston winning it all.
There you go. Because Final Four will be, and everything will be to be determined. We can maybe do an Instagram post or something about that. I don't know.
We'll do an Instagram post with all our screenshots.
Yeah, we can do that.
Of like all our brackets.
Let's do that though when they're revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's all we got for March Madness. Again, next week we'll do a big we'll probably do a little bit of a preview for the next two rounds and then get into all the free agency moves because there's been a lot. And, I mean, we talked about some of them today. And we're not going to do an in-depth analysis on everything. Like, I don't think we need to do, like, a huge thing on Jamal Williams to the Saints, even though that's a pretty decent signing. But, like, doesn't need to be anything huge. But, yeah. So, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Good luck to everyone on their brackets. Anyone have anything else to say before we get out of here?
No.
All right. So we'll see you guys all later. Peace.
Peace.